What up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Laud Times podcast. We're on a roll, guys. We're back-to-back recording here after a long hiatus, like we mentioned last week on the pod. This week, same guest as last week, but we got another special guest in the house, Mr. Lou, Tigres English account. How we doing, brother?
Doing great, man. It's great to be back with you guys.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you once again. Dennis in the house. What up, brother?
Running on a little sleep today, but when it's Gran Final week, it doesn't matter. There's adrenaline running through your body at all hours of the day.
Absolutely. And lastly, Edgar from Double N L Nation. Excuse me. How we doing, brother?
Doing great. I thought it was Wednesday. I was very happy. Unfortunately, it is Tuesday that we're recording. But like Dennis said, it's finals week. So every day is exciting. Just counting down
to a kickoff. Yeah. It's amazing to be back yet another championship or another final. So initial thoughts. We'll start with you, Lou, since we haven't had you in a while. We haven't heard from you. Initial thoughts on us being in the final once again, you know, especially after winning the championship 6 months ago.
Well, I mean, it's a special treat. I mean, to be able to have a chance at the Bicampeonato. This is our second shot at it. You know, we failed against Chivas back in Clausura 2017, I believe. And we didn't get it done. So I think this is a special treat for us. And I think we're going in red hot. Only one loss in the last 14 games. So we're firing on all cylinders, and I think we're playing really well right now, and we have a really good shot getting that cup.
Absolutely, and to add to that, Siboldi on being at home, so that makes you feel good, especially when we open up. Dennis, thoughts on being in the championship once again?
Man, it feels great. I'm telling you, I've had a great sports year. Between all the trips you and I've done, championship in May, going to the first leg of that final, Campeón de Campeones, being at Campeones Cup, the Rangers winning the World Series, this is heaven. and I feel like for all the weirdness of this year has wrought in my like personal life, this has been a great escape. Thank you, Tigres, and thank you, Rangers, for bringing me so much joy and happiness into my life when I've really needed it. So,
and lastly, Edgar, thoughts. Emotions. What are you thinking about this championship appearance once again?
Very, very excited. I mean, honestly, it was an expectation for me. Obviously, it's not a guarantee, but you see that nothing's changed from last season. The couple games we saw with Siboldi, no gigiak, no problem. I'm actually very surprised, but relieved that his absence wasn't a determining factor in the scoreboard.
Absolutely. So why don't we start there and talk a little bit about the Puma series. We open up the first leg where we were able to secure a win 1-0 at Estadio Olimpico in Ciudad de Mexico. And then second leg, 1-1 tie that gets us a 2-1 aggregate to advance. Lou, first impressions of the first leg. When we got the game going, the lineup obviously making the Bigón substitution instead of Fulgencio, Siboldi changed it up there. What was your opinion about that? And then as the game started and, you know, leading it up to the end of the first half?
I had some concern because historically we tend to struggle at Seoul. And I was like, you know, it could be one of those games where we don't come home with an advantage. And so I was really surprised at how well we did on the road. I don't know what you guys think, but I haven't seen this much energy from the squad since probably like 2017. They were just swarming the ball. Every time we lost the ball, how quickly we gained it back. We looked like a young squad. And we're, you know, we still have most of our veterans. And I was just watching the game and thinking, man, if Piojo's watching this game, after he said we were old and then he watches these guys running all over the pitch like that, it was special to watch. I mean, Aquino was just all up and down that sideline. I mean, I was really impressed with our energy. And I think we're going to continue that into the final. To me, it's really impressive at our age.
Absolutely. I think that for the most part in both games, you know, like you mentioned, the energy, the intensity to fight for the ball on defense, and then how quickly they've moved in transitions offensively. So that was awesome. Something that I noticed as well. Edgar, second half, obviously we get a goal, Angulo rocket into the bottom of the net after a set piece and corner kick, which surprisingly Pumas was not able to stop that. We run that same play consistently. Kikin Fonseca talked about it so many times on the broadcast. Walk me through that emotion aspect of seeing that goal and then obviously securing that win on the road.
So it was unbelievable. I mean, I was very excited and happy for Angulo. And honestly, just that we got the victory at Seoul, like Lou mentioned, it's a place where we typically tend to struggle. And obviously, last pod, we were all kind of discussing, we felt we were going to more come out of there with a draw. So that was amazing. And for me, it's always just really special when a player that you don't expect ends up stealing the spotlight. I think that's always really awesome to see. And it was surprising that the head coach of the opposite team, who was speaking that he is very familiar with Tigres and that he had studied very well, couldn't handle it.
Le tuvo miedo, bro. Just go ahead and say it. Le tuvo miedo.
Días de diciembre on his mind, man, for sure.
Bro, the ghost of December. Any last thoughts on the first leg, Dennis, that you would like to add? Any impressions or thoughts that you had about the play some of the guys had or over the overall game?
I mean, you guys have really hit it on the head with the energy. Like, I agree with what Lou said a second ago about how youthful the team looked, which, you know, knowing the ages of most of these guys, it's like kind of crazy. I thought that the back line specifically was fantastic on Thursday night, and they were fantastic in both games, but I really thought just the command that all four of them had. Pizarro's obviously been really consistent this year. Aquino's been hot as of late. Angulo's been pretty rock solid all year. And Samir looks like when we first signed him, Samir all over again. Like somebody on Twitter said, "Este es la Samir de la Premier," or something like that. It's like, yeah, like this is Watford Samir all over again. Like he's, you know, everywhere. Like his pace is back. He's, you know, tough to bring down, tough to like beat in all aspects. And they were really the foundation of, you know, having that success on Thursday. And just the goal is just beautiful. Like, it's just a beautiful goal. And Angulo, for all the stuff we talk about, his lack of offensive power, this year he's had a pretty good offensive year.
Fourth goal, no?
Yeah, something like that.
It's
crazy.
There's a few players that I think had an exceptional series against Pumas, but I want to ask you guys individually what was your favorite player in the series of, you know, first leg and second leg? We'll start with you, Dennis.
Man, I don't know. I mean, Samir is probably the obvious one, I think, for me. It's probably Samir, Aquino, or Gorriarán. I'm going to say Samir because, again, like, as I just mentioned, I think he's back to his best. It helps that he's not, you know, freshly removed from an injury. And he's been consistently in the lineup. Again, it's what I talked about last week. The roles have reversed from the spring where Samir gets hurt. Reyes comes in. Reyes gets on a good run of form at the right time. Now it's flipped where Reyes got hurt. Samir's had to come in and he's been rock solid. So it's just funny how it's worked out in that way. And I think he's, you know, commanding the back line really well. And that's obviously important going into a series against America, which I'm sure we'll talk about in depth even more later. But all the attacking options that they have, you know, and how hot they've been all season, that's going to be super important for him to continue that form on Thursday and on Sunday of this week.
Absolutely. Lou, who do you think was the most important in that series against Pumas?
I got to go with Aquino, man. As hyped as Chino Huerta was coming into the series, I mean, he's the guy that everybody's been talking about. Every TV commentator, it seems like, has been hyping him up about how well he plays and how he's ready to go to Europe and this and that. And Aquino totally shut him down. Obviously, it was, you know, a team effort. Guido Pizarro was sliding a lot into that zone as well. But Aquino was just phenomenal. I mean, he was not only shutting down Huerta, but he was also pushing up in the attack a lot and contributing on the offense as well. So I got to give him the MVP for the series.
I can't believe that people actually wanted him to start over Chucky Lozano at times on the national team because of his form. Crazy people. But yeah, Aquino was spectacular. Both games, it was impressive. Edgar, who are you going with?
Definitely Aquino as well. I mean, he's already a seasoned veteran who owned the position the minute he was dropped out of the winger spot. There's no question that he was just a phenomenal key player. You had commentators once again bringing up that he should be on the national team, and I definitely think he should. I know that I feel like a couple times he said that he retired. I think really he was just pushed out early on more than he wanted to.
I think it goes back to when Osorio first arrived. I think he got called several times and he wasn't played at all. And even like, I think because he did play in the 2014 World Cup, he got some minutes as a sub for Piojo. But the next process, he was called, and at that point, he had won championships with Tigres, and he was an established veteran. And I felt like he just knew that he was just not going to ride the bench. He's not going to go and hang out with the national team just to make friends. So I think he was like done with it. But I mean, I'd take him over Kevin Alvarez.
He was on the 2018 World Cup roster, but he just didn't play.
Oh, okay. I'd probably take him over to Jorge Sanchez.
For real.
So, but the national media is going to say it's better to be in Europe. You know, you got the youth, we're thinking about the next World Cups, but I honestly was torn between him and Nando. I think Nando had a really good series, both offensively and defensively, pressuring the ball all over the pitch. You know, we've mentioned last week and then even before in other pods towards, you know, the last pods that we had recorded that he was finally getting to that level of what we bought him for, those $11 million that we paid for Santos, where he was top three player in the league. He just looks comfortable. He had that play in Seoul on that beautiful play between Lainez, Cordoba, Nando, and I don't know if it was Bigón, but they had that back heel. One touch, beautiful play. And then the second leg, I mean, he was just all over the pitch pressuring. So I think I'm going with him since you guys both picked Aquino. I think Samir had a good series. But I think overall, for the most part, every single player had a great series from Ibáñez all the way down to Nahuel making key saves. You know, Lou, right before you got on, we were talking about how, you know, at least personally, I would still consider Gignac to be the starter. But I feel a lot more comfortable with what Ibáñez has done over the last 10 games to really allow the fan base, the coaching staff to say, this is a natural transition now. It's not a coach coming in and imposing a new striker. You know, Gignac's form fell. It's just natural father time. You know, Gignac's going to have some more injuries here and there where he's not going to have to be able to play the 90 minutes or he won't have to. And Ibáñez is someone that we can trust moving forward.
Yeah, I think 5 months ago, had you told me Gignac's hurt and he might not be at 100% for the final, I'd be scared to death. But, I mean, the improvement we've seen from Ibáñez this last 6 weeks or so has been remarkable. And I think we're all very confident in him now, too. And I think he's got his groove back, too, as well. I see him, his movement, the shots he's taking, everything looks like he's playing with confidence now. And I think it's helped him that, you know, Siboldi's kind of eased him into the lineup, hasn't pulled him completely, has given him minutes here and there, and he's comfortable. So I think if Gignac can't go a full 90, it's great to have him there ready to go as well.
And that's the question. Who do you start on Thursday? Do you continue the wave of riding Ibáñez, or you bring in Gignac, who played 10 minutes in the series against Pumas in the second leg, got more rest, and will be ready to go Thursday? He practiced today. What do you do?
I'm more inclined to start Ibáñez, to be honest with you, and then giving Gignac minutes at the end to see how he feels, just so I can have Gignac ready to go for the second leg. Because I think that'll be where the experience is going to be needed, where we're going to need a guy who's ready to go. I mean, this is potentially more than 180-minute series. It could end up going to PKs, and we're going to need Gignac. So hopefully we have him at almost 100% for the second leg.
Dennis, what do you think?
I think I agree. Which, again, like, if you, in any other circumstances, like, are you crazy for even saying that, Lou? But, like, you're not. And so, I think I would handle it. Ibanez plays 60 minutes-ish on Thursday. Let Gignac get a decent run, because I don't think you want to have him play spot minutes like how he did this past Sunday. And also, again, like we talked about before we actually started recording, it'd be really cool if he hit the record at home, even though it'd also be really cool if he hit the record at Azteca. So why not give him a chance to do it on Thursday in front of the crowd to really like shift momentum as well. And I think he needs it. I think he needs to get it out of the way. I think that's kind of like, you know, with milestones and achievements, like sometimes that kind of hangs over players sometimes. And once you like get it, like everything's fine, you know? And I think it'll be way easier for him to like shake that off at home, get it out of the way. So that way, at Azteca on Sunday, he's like, you know, fully loose and ready to go.
And that would set a great tone for the series.
Absolutely.
Edgar, what do you think? Start him, bench him?
I would start Ibanez. Definitely give him the first 45, 100%. Kind of see where we're at halftime. See if we need to give Gignac 45 minutes or 30 minutes, 20 minutes. But I'm kind of like you guys were saying, it's a really weird thing to, you know, speak out loud. But so many times we've been told that this team depends on Gignac, this team depends on Nahuel. But really, truly, and honestly, we don't. Not anymore. I think we're a very solid group. I think there's many leaders on the field. And I think at one point, Ibanez said that he wasn't here to replace Gignac. He was here to be Ibanez. And it's shown. And definitely, he's gotten the confidence with Ciboldi. I know under He Who Shall Not Be Named, the plans were different. The original point was, I think, to play both of them at the same time. That obviously didn't happen. And I think it kind of bruised his ego or his confidence when Ciboldi reverts back to just playing one striker up top.
By the way, Cocas mentioned this in his most recent interview. He talked about the what if he would have stayed.
And, we don't care. We don't care what he thinks.
Absolutely.
What if?
I think my heart says definitely start Nico Ibanez, but I also can see Gignac starting on Thursday, getting, you know, fewer minutes, bringing Ibanez to continue the work, and then having Ibanez continue the work on Sunday and then Gignac finish it off. But I think I'm with Lou. I think the series is going to be potentially longer than 180 minutes. I think that we could go potentially the extra time and then the PK. So I think it's going to be a very strategic approach from Ciboldi, and I think it's perfect. I think he's at the most confident he has been at Tigres, because he's had the time to work now. He has his assistants who are tactical magicians, more so Fuentes, right? That's his Miguel Fuentes. Is that, did I have it right?
Can't remember his first name, but I think his last name is Fuentes, yeah.
Okay. Backup keeper for Ciboldi at Tigres and his lifetime friend. So amazing tactician, and Ciboldi is a great leader. I mean, man, I just think we're in great hands. I don't know what's going to happen. First leg, second leg, I don't know if we're going to win the championship. But I think I feel at ease knowing that this team looks a lot better than 6 months ago, even when we won the championship. I think the players know exactly what Ciboldi wants out of them. I think that they have the liberty to play anywhere on the field, especially on the offensive side. The players, you know, showed us this past two games that they don't have a position that they have to stick to. You saw Nando out wide, you saw Cordoba out wide, you saw them both down the middle, you saw Vigón on the left side. So I think that the liberty of the free flow up top allows Tigres to be someone to really be hard to defend. So I think we're looking at a great series. Some weaknesses of America going into the final, Lou.
I think their biggest weakness is their back line.
Igor Lichnowsky.
Yeah, and their fullbacks are not as good as Kevin Alvarez is pushing forward. He tends to be a liability defending. And then you either have a youngster on the on left back, or you play a really old guy, you know, in Luis Fuentes. So I think that if we exploit the wings, I think we have a shot against them because they tend to not defend too well on the wings. And so I think that's going to be the key matchup right there. The battle of our guys in the final third against their fullbacks and their center backs.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Kevin Alvarez wrote out an injury to end the season, and Layún has been the regular starter at the right back spot. And then on the left side, they brought in Chava Reyes a few seasons ago from Puebla, had a wonderful season. They brought him in, and Luis Fuentes, who played at Pumas, where we beat in the championship, who played at Rayados, where we beat in the championship, is the starter at the left back spot.
And I think Luis Fuentes is going on 38. He's like 37, on the verge of being 38. So he's got a lot of miles on him, man. And, you know, as you age, your pace is slower. So he's not going to offer a lot on the attack and defending.
Unless you're Aquino.
Attack. Well, I mean, Aquino is the fountain of youth. But, you know, I feel like he's not going to have enough speed for our wingers. If we go at him, I think we have a shot to get by him and, you know, make crosses into the box and kind of exploit those weaknesses.
Okay. Any strengths that we see, Edgar, on America's side?
So I did see a tweet earlier today. I don't remember who the source was, so I apologize in advance. A couple people in the media were calling their team inexperienced. It's not necessarily true when they have players like Igor Lichnowsky, fresh out of Tigres. Julian Quiñones, who was a two-time back-to-back champion with Atlas. Layún, who I think at some point did win the league, either with America. So it's not that they're not experienced. I think as a group, they might not be, but they do have a lot of individuals who have played finals and can understand what the pressure is. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it. But to say that they're in an inexperienced team is not necessarily true.
Just to add to that, Edgar, like I was looking today at how many finals our guys have been in, especially Nahuel. Not counting Campeón de Campeones or Campeones Cup or any of those, Nahuel's been in 14 finals. So if you count the lesser cups, he's nearing 20 finals, man. I mean, experience is definitely on our side. A lot of these guys have been in a lot of big moments, and I think that's going to be an edge there towards the end especially. I think it's going to be a factor.
And I think the pressure's more on America's side than on us.
Of course.
Because they're the number one seed. They're the biggest team in the country historically.
They haven't won in a while.
They haven't won in a while. They had this crazy, crazy attack. Like, of course they're the favorites. Of course we're the underdogs. Like, if they don't win this, when are they ever going to win one? That's the sort of thing. So it's kind of the perfect storm for us. We're like, we have all this experience. We're the reigning champions. Even though we're the reigning champions, we're the underdogs, and we have the ability to like play the game at our own pace. Like we're not really going to try to let them dictate the game like how they did against San Luis. We're like San Luis, they have all these like great, you know, pacey players that fly up and down, but they're youthful and inexperienced. That's not going to happen in this scenario at all.
Yeah. And I think that the experience and the handling of the moments of the game and how to like manage the game comes all in our favor. You have literally a coach in the back line, a coach in the midfield, a coach at the keeper position, a coach on the attack, and a great leader on the bench with great youth talent off the bench. So I think if we manage the game, and like you said, America may try to come at us and attack us, but it's not going to be as easy because we have more skill and more talent on the starting 11 and the bench to go at them as well. Then, you know, allow them to just walk all over us like they did over San Luis. So I think if we manage the game and we control the pace and the moments of possession, I think that America is going to struggle. And I think that that's where the key is going to be to defeating them. I think managing all those possession moments and getting over the hump of the pressures that they may have to begin the game in the first half and, you know, the second halves, especially at their house.
Here's what I'll say too. I think that we have to go into Sunday with an advantage. We have to win on Thursday because I don't see us tying on Thursday like how we did in the spring against Chivas and then you know, not having an advantage. And then if we go down, like, it still works out in our favor. I think this is a totally different scenario because their attack is significantly better than what Chivas had in May. You know, like, they're going to punish us for mistakes if and when they happen. And so I think you have to, even if it's just one, like, just the mental aspect of that, like, really goes a long way. Like, we can't play too conservative on Thursday. You kind of have to take some risk and try to find one, ideally two goals to take back to the Aztec on Sunday. Because you know that on Sunday, they'll have their home crowd fired up. They'll have 90,000 people in there. And regardless of how Thursday goes, they're going to really go for it. So can't let that happen again, I don't think, because they have a stronger front line, especially with how Valdez has been playing too. He's the one guy that we really have to contain, because I think he's had a really strong last couple weeks of the season. If we can contain him, that'll go a long way. But anyway, we have to go into Sunday with a lead.
You say Valdez. I think their most important player for me is Henry Martin.
Yeah, him too. I think they're equal, personally.
And obviously, to me, Diego Valdez is way talented, and you know, the Julián Quiñones. But I think that what Henry Martin provides as, you know, the focal point of their movements and how the creating the spaces allows their offense to flow easily with Quiñones having all the movement, Diego Valdez, Sendejas. I mean, sort of similar how we have the movement on our side. I think that just as equally dangerous, but I think that they have someone as a post and someone that can, you know, not be selfish to give up some of the goals that a forward would usually score. Lou, what is the key to defeating them?
I think this game's going to be won or lost by Nahuel in the back line. I truly believe America is going to overload the final third. You know, they're going to bring numbers. It's going to be Valdez, Henry Martin, Sendejas. You know, it could be Quiñones. They're definitely always going to try to have four or five guys in the final third, with Kevin Alvarez pushing up as well. And so I think this is going to be a really interesting matchup as far as tactics is concerned, because both coaches are really good. Both coaching staffs are really good. I don't know if we're better off going with five at the back just to start the game. Play that. Three center backs, Reyes, Guido, Samir, and then Aquino and Angulo on the edges, just to try to contain them, at least initially. And then you can kind of start to pull Reyes out, bring in Bigón, kind of overload the midfield and try to push up. I definitely think we need to make it a low-scoring game. We definitely don't want to go, you know, guns out against them, see who, you know, make it a high-scoring game. It's got to be slow. We got to try to control the pace as much as we can. And then, you know, pick our battles. As time goes along, time will be on our side. So I don't necessarily agree with Dennis. Like, we have to take an advantage. If we take a tie into their stadium and continue to keep it tied, the pressure is going to mount on them instead of us. And then if it goes into PKs, man, I mean, Nahuel's got us, dude. And I think ultimately, you know, I think that's how the game might end. You know, it might be on Nahuel's hands again, like it was, you know, against León, like it was against, you know, Pumas, America. So I think we need to be real careful on how we approach the game. The midfield to me is a toss up. You know, Gorriarán, Carioca, I think they'll boss the midfield, but I think they'll have their moments as well with, you know, Fidalgo and Dos Santos, whoever they decide to go with there in the mid. So I think everything's going to be decided by our back line in the win.
I like that. So you think it's going to be one of those finals that, you know, if we win, we're going to get criticized for the way that we won.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't care, you know.
Oh, absolutely not.
We're lifting the cup. I really don't care if we make it, you know, if it's 0-0 for 180 minutes, I really don't care. Obviously, I don't think it will be, but I think it'll be a low scoring series. I mean, I could see it being 1-1 at the Volcan and 0-0, 1-1 at El Azteca, you know. So to me, that's more favorable to us than trying to keep up, score three at home and then try to score three at their place. It's going to be hectic. But I trust our guys. I trust our guys to be ready for the moment. I like our battles. The only thing I'm worried about is Samir and Guido trying to handle the load with Valdez and Henry Martin coming at them constantly. And you don't want to be in one-on-one battles there. So I think that's why you want an extra center back there to kind of help out a little bit.
So you would go back line of three immediately in the first leg?
Yeah, that's how I would start. I would start with five at the back, maybe in a 5-4-1, and then switch it up in the second half, kind of start attacking more in the second half. Because yeah, I do think they're gonna overload us with
right.
guys in the
final. I did think about the back line of three, but I thought about repeating the lineup with Vigón in the lineup in the first leg, seeing how that works, just because it has worked, and you still get that offensive that midfield presence, and then depending on the scoreline, and you know, I am asking and looking for a 1-0 victory at home, and then when you go on the road, give them that back line of three.
If you do go that route, you're going to rely a lot more on Carioca to drop in as a sweeper. And now the question is, do you trust Carioca to be in that sweeper role as much as you trust, you know, Diego Reyes, who's a full-time defender? That's my concern is now we're placing a lot of responsibility on Carioca to be able to defend, which that's not his thing necessarily, you know. So, I mean, it's interesting. It'll be really interesting to see what Siboldi does.
Yeah, and if he pulls it off, man, I was telling them, like, I think, like, you know, I've said this probably on several pods, and you know, even going back to the Chivas one, it's like, okay, this is the last one that I'm asking for, but back to back, you know, solidifies the dynasty and like even puts him on another stepping stone of like what these players have done, especially over the last, you know, 8 or so years with Nahuel, Gignac, Pizarro, Carioca, Aquino, and those five more specifically. I think there's the conversation is not necessarily more who's el grande, it's just like, or who are the grandes, it's like Tigres is part of or is Mexican soccer in the current age.
Honestly, I think this game's bigger than the Chivas one.
There's more involved
than there was for Chivas. Obviously, the Chivas win was important, but well, I think this one's more bragging rights with this one. I think.
Think about also from like the perspective from this side of the river in terms of Mexico and the border. You know, you have the conglomerate of Televisa and Univision on this side, so you have two Spanish networks pushing for America to win this. And you know, shout out Xavi Sol, who has done a tremendous job and has really understood and identified that Tigres is a brand that you definitely want to tag along and not push to the side like a lot of the dinosaurs have in the past, you know, with the media. But I think, you know, you add that or you throw that into the mix with if Tigres beats America in this final, you have now American media with the growth that it has with the Leagues Cup, the CONCACAF coming, Lionel Messi and the coverage that it's got, it continues to get. You start looking, you know, you identified Tigres as a powerhouse, but now you start, you know, put them in the same mix as America and a Chivas of historical runs or championships because you're seeing it more present and you've seen it over the last few years, but now you see, okay, another big championship against America. Everybody knows America in the American media. So I think the respect and the recognition that we would get also from the American side of soccer media would be also really cool to acknowledge and see.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot more eyes than just the Mexican folks on this side of the border. I think there's a lot of eyes on us, and it's a big moment. And I think it's going to be a big monumental win for us. It's going to be a very important trophy. I think it's going to shut up a lot of people as well.
Bro, I'm telling you, I won't ask for another one. I'd be okay we can go.
No, there's got to be one more, man. We got a Club World Cup that we got to.
Yeah, but that's not the league, though. That's not the league.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you.
We still got a lot of big ones, man. We got
we'll get there.
I was telling them before we started recording, my uncle last night was telling me, he was like, think about, you know, next semester when they start the CONCACAF, think about the exact same lineup they threw out there for these past two games against Puma. except you throw Bruneta instead of Bigón.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. So, but we're here. We're we got a game, a very important game. Bruneta is going to help us for the CONCACAF, but that'll be another conversation for a different time and hopefully with the 9th championship in our club.
Can we think about, like, just for a second, Lou, you brought up a great point of, like, the idea of having 5 in the back. I kind of wonder if the play is, you guys remember when we played Rayados at home earlier this season and how we started that game with 5 in the back where Linus really dropped deeper? I wonder if that's the play. You know what I mean? Like, if that's the play to start, like, have Linus act as the left back and shift Angulo over, keep Samir and Pizarro there, obviously Aquino on the right side. Wonder if that's the play just to, like, how you mentioned, like, set the tone early of, like, we're not going to let you, like, dominate with numbers. Like, we're going to play it our way and try to control the pace. Because the way that we executed in that game, like, really stifled Rayados. And obviously, like, it ended up becoming a big win for us in the season. And obviously, it's a different scenario now because you have a second leg to deal with. But I think if we can do that again, I think that goes a long way. And I wonder if that's the blueprint for how we start on Thursday.
Great point.
You know,
I guess we're not counting on Luis Quiñones being available at all for this one, right? I mean, it's not for this series at all.
Even if he was, like,
as I dislike him, he is defensively, he does get in the way.
Yeah.
And he's got speed, which, that's always my concern with Linus, is he going to make the sacrifice? Is he going to be there, you know, to defensively help us out? And that's always my concern with him. But Luis Quiñones, I always felt like, well, he's at least good for that. Even if he's not doing anything up top, he'll at least come back down and get in the way.
Yeah.
To that point, he's playing his former team. Diego is. And so is Sebastian.
Yeah.
I think they'll be up for it because of that.
Oh, yeah.
And America didn't want to pay for him to bring him back. And you can argue, too, that Diego Linus has looked at his best when he played in that back line of three, where he has a lot more freedom to go up forward because he knows he has a little bit more support in the back. He doesn't have to come drop down as playing with a back line of four. I think that's probably the biggest growth he had this year is Siboldi putting him in great position to allow him to attack and be more involved with the buildup, as well as be in a position to defend and help out and sacrifice for the team. So I think both of y'all are onto something there. I hadn't acknowledged that part. So I sound convinced. I'm convinced.
I think Siboldi's going to have something up his sleeve for sure.
Edgar, any additional comments or thoughts about this series as we get ready to close out the pod?
Not really. I'm with Lou and I'm with Dennis. I didn't really, being that I was at that game against Monterrey, I didn't really stop and think about how we lined up for that one, kind of how that would put us in an advantage for a match against America. I think that would be good.
Lastly, quick predictions. I know we kind of sort of like threw them in there into our points that we were making. Dennis, advantage going into the second leg?
Yeah. I say just one because I agree with what Lou was saying, that we can't let it be a high-scoring affair because that plays into what they want. So give me 1-0 on Thursday and then 2-1 on Sunday.
Edgar?
I think we win by 2 on Thursday. I think it's a 2-0, and we might draw at the Azteca, but I'm okay with that.
Lou?
Sean isn't here, so I'll be Sean today. I think it's going to be very miserable. I think we're going to suffer the whole way through, but we're going to lift that cup.
Bro, I'm not ready for that heart rate.
Yeah, the heart rate's going to be up for sure on Sunday.
Boy. That's the reason why I got rid of my Apple Watch.
Yep.
Dude,
reminding me every 3 minutes that your heart rate's like at 165. I am not kidding. And you're sitting on the couch.
That series against when Piojo was around in the semi, when we had the lead going into the second leg, and it was telling me, he's like, your heart rate's up. And I was sitting down watching the game. I was like, I need to chill out. So I got rid of the Apple Watch. I was like, I'm not going to let this Apple Watch tell me when to chill. And I don't want to know about it, especially if I'm watching a Tigres game.
You remember, do you remember the tension in my body at Campeones Cup? Like how I was shaking the entire second half. Do you not remember this? Like I was literally shaking the entire second half next to you.
Yeah, I don't know how this club owns us like this.
Rent free. That's what
Tigres needs to have some health care for us, man. I mean, they're really cutting down on our life expectancy pretty bad.
Yeah, absolutely. More than they need. More
next sponsor has to be in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yep, Merck or somebody like that.
Yeah, no kidding. After all the ones that they're adding.
Pfizer, whatever.
Fellas, appreciate the time. Hopefully next week when we're recording, we'll be champions once again. And speaking about the beautiful, beautiful run that our club continues to be on and getting that ninth championship.
One more thing before we go. Any desired teams to play in the first round of CONCACAF? Because the draw's tomorrow night. So we're going to find out who we play first round tomorrow night.
What are the options?
We cannot play Columbus. We cannot play Miami because they're into the round of 16. And we cannot play somebody else that is already like advanced automatically. But pretty much anybody else is, or Pachuca. We can't play Pachuca. And then a couple other random teams. So
give me a Central American team. Give me somebody easy just to start out with.
I am looking forward to that though, to hopefully visit another city that I have not visited and traveling with the team.
Nashville would be fun to go to.
Yep.
I was gonna
Cincinnati.
Say.
Cincinnati surprisingly has, Alfred mentioned it too. They have a great fan base.
Yeah. I would love Nashville. That'd probably be my preferred first round.
I've never been to Boston, so I'd be down for the New England Revolution as well.
Watch our boys eat them to shreds at Gillette. We would invade the stadium.
Yeah, they got a good fan base, but I don't know, man. I think I'm not worried about that tournament yet. I think I'm gonna wait till next semester. I need them to win this ninth. And
I agree.
Going into Monterrey a week later and celebrate, you know, a week later, enjoying being in Monterrey with a cup around.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, that is it for today, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, listening. Give us a shout out. Let us know. Give us some feedback. Follow us on social media, especially our boy Lou, who is the Tigres English
account. The OG.
The OG, the correspondent, the guy, the myth, the legend that always knows and has everything going on.
Tigres. Get out of here.
He's not AI, guys. We promise.
Lou, we've missed you, Lou. We hadn't had you on the pod.
Oh, man, it's good to be back. I was super busy, but everything's kind of settled down now, so we should be good to go now.
Coach Lou, is that?
Yeah, yeah, man. I got my certification from Professor Anaya, so just came in this morning, actually. So.
Oh, wow.
Congrats.
That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Hey, no wonder he was giving us all these lessons today about the back lines and whatnot.
Oh, man. Gotta take advantage of it. It's still fresh in my head, man.
Yeah. Good to have you, Lou. Good to have you. Edgar, thank you so much for joining in, and Dennis as well. We'll see you guys online. Take care, everybody.
Bye.